And here we go. And everything is in order. And I'll put this on hold so it doesn't get out of order. Now, a passage exists from eye to heart that the intellect knows not of. A passage exists from the eye to the heart that the intellect knows not of. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, and the University of Philosophy here in Campo, California, and the School of the Master here in Campo, California, and the Absolute Monastery here in Campo, California, and many other wonderful places here. We are fabulous. Today we'll talk about a passage exists from the eye to the heart that the intellect knows not of, for our absolute philosopher consideration. Now, think about it. Think about it. We spoke at noon about a little bit about the same subject, really. A passage exists from the eye to the heart that the intellect knows not of. If I say to you, think of your father, remember? Mm-hmm. Instantly, you think of your father. You think of the old dead buck, you know, lying in his, moldering in his grave there, you know. And I say to you, think of your ex-husband, and you think of him lying in the grave, moldering in the dust, you know. I say to Ellen, think of your dead father, and your dead mother, and your dead mother-in-law, and your dead father-in-law, and your dead husband, and your dead, I don't know, fishes. Yeah, you lost some fish already too, haven't you? Hmm? Ellen, you have really packed away a lot. Okay, now, think of them. Now, Ellen says, Herb, your words delight my heart, because as I think of these people, I think of them with all the joy and all the love that we experienced together. We had a wonderful life together. And as I think of them, I'm living with them right now in the now. And I'm enjoying them right now in the now. But you're dead fish. You're thinking of that in the now? Sure. You just take one word out of there and you're in good shape. The fish. And so, what are you thinking about? Well, what's the name of your fish?
Oh, yeah.
Boy, is she a sick cat, you know? She's just like my brother. My brother lost his dog named Tipper. And Tipper was a super little dog that Ray just loved to pieces. And then Ray got another dog. And Ray decided, why go and make a new license and make a new tag and make a new everything? We'll just call this new dog Tipper too. Not Tipper, too, but Tipper, also. And so, he calls it Tipper. Now, at first, when he looked at the new Tipper, he was reminded of the old Tipper. Until the new Tipper showed Ray that he was a new Tipper. That he had new ways of looking at life. He had new ways of doing things. And Ray completely forgot about the old Tipper. But now Ray is not immune to the old Tipper. Because the old Tipper comes up in little things now and then. Ray pulls out the couch, and he's going to sell it and buy a new one. And underneath the couch are a bunch of old Tipper's toys. And he says, well, how about that? Well, new Tipper, would you like to have these toys? And new Tipper puts his nose up and says, please, only new stuff for me. You know, I'm very special. And Ray said, you bet you are. We'll take these and give them to the neighbor dog. You deserve to have everything chosen just for you, out of the purest love, just for you. You deserve to have everything that is exactly a reflection of my love for you. That was my love for my other Tipper that I gave her those toys. But you, this is what you are. Well, we all do that. We all do that. But you know, we all do also. As we create new our remembrances of our family and friends, we create them doing beautiful things. Now, I've talked with many people about thinking about a person who has passed on. And I'll say to them, well, now, so your mother was partial to pink. She loved pink dresses. She loved pink hats. She loved pink shoes. She loved pink everything that she could get a hold of. And then the person said to me, no, she didn't. She didn't like pink at all. She liked red and blue, but she didn't like pink. And I'll say, well, I feel in my heart that she liked pink. Now, without giving anyone a clue, call your father and ask if your mother liked pink. Or rather, what was your mother's favorite color? You know, that's less leading, you know. And then call your aunt, call your uncle, call other people and ask them, what was your mommy's favorite color? You're just thinking about it and thinking about buying some flowers for her grave and putting the ribbon around it that was her favorite color. So, you know, gotta have a reason for doing this. And so you call the old man and he says, my gosh, I haven't thought about that for a long time. But you know, she has a whole closet full of pink clothes. They're still upstairs. And it's only been a couple of months now that she's gone, but I haven't gotten rid of them. Do you want them? No. Oh, no, 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 thank you very much. Well, what do you mean, no, no, no? Why did you ask? I was just wondering what mother's favorite color was. You don't know what your mother's favorite color was. You lived with us all these years, you know. You were our number one, two, three, four daughter, you know. Four sons, but only one daughter, you know. And you don't remember? My goodness sakes. And so, then thinking your father might be feeble, you know, see now, incorrect, you call your sister. And your sister says, oh, mother loved red and she loved blue, but her absolute most favorite was, you got it, pink. And so she goes around. Now, she did not remember that. She only remembered, wow, mom, you got blue and red on. Wow, you look fabulous. You just look glorious. And when she wore pink, that was just mom. And she didn't even think of mom in pink. She only thought of mom and when she wore something different. Now you see, as we remember experiences from our past, not that I'm encouraging you to do this, but as you remember things, you remember them by the vitality of them, not by the commonness of them. And this is so true. In the world today, the newspapers write about the unusual. They don't write about the common. They don't write about the green grass, and they don't write about the birds. They don't write about the doves that are all over the place and stinking up the place. They don't write about them. They write about the doves that are plotching over the city hall and dropping down on people as they come in city hall. They say, we got to do something about this. And yet, if they would just do one thing, it would be handled. Does anyone want to put their foot in their mouth? What would they do? What would they do to take care of those doves that plotched right on this middle entranceway of City Hall? They would mentally see these doves content at another location, perhaps in the park or in the forest nearby or on the edge of the lake where their dew would go well with the fish, you know. You see, you don't chase things away. You don't get angry at them. You don't wonder about them. You just gently create them wherever you want them. Now, where do you want them? Where do you want these experiences in your life? We say here, a passage exists between the eye to the heart that the intellect knows not of. And that's true. And the passage between the eye and the heart of mother in pink was the farthest thing from our thought because it was so common. It was so everyday-ish. And we only remembered mom when she did her outstanding things. And mom could do some outstanding things. But when it came time to revert back to her normal, desirable, happy self, she was always wearing pink. Now, what about you guys? What sort of a life are you living in? Are you living in a life where you forget the most important thing in your life? You forget to say, this food is healthy for my body and filled with love. You forget to say, I'm a happy person. You forget to say, I am guided by my inner wisdom. You see, the passage from the eye to the heart is developed by the simplicity of who we are. The intellect will always come up with an answer, but the eye to the heart is the one that really sees it all. Now, why did I know that your mother loved to wear pink? Because I listened with my eye and my heart, and I knew the answer. But what if she didn't like pink? Then you would have been wrong. Well, if I listen to my eye and my heart, and I trust my eye and my heart, I'll never be wrong. The intellect can be wrong. The intellect that you were playing with, that said she loved green and blue and red, well, that was just because your memory was on those things that were outstanding and different, not common. Listen with your heart. Listen with your eye. Be aware of the beauty and the goodness and the magic that goes on around you. And as you do this, you'll find that you are turning in to your introspective self. You are learning to listen to that divine self within you that has all the answers for everything you could ever want to know. And as you listen, you will not doubt. You will immediately respond, I know. And you will not say to other people, I could have told you that answer. You would tell them that answer, if that's your choice. You don't say, I knew that. It's easy for us to say, I knew that. And really, we do mean it, because we did know it. We did know it in our heart, but we didn't say it, because we were afraid to say it, because we might be wrong. Trust yourself. The more you trust yourself in saying the thoughts that come to your consciousness, the more open is the channel between the mind and the heart that the intellect knows not of. Have a lovely evening. I love you very much, and I think only good thoughts about you. I love you. I love you. I love you.